He says here in the next verse, "Have I not commanded you?" Again, he repeats, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." God didn't say, "I want you to feel courageous." He said, "I command you." It's going to take courage to become the people that I want you to be. Listen carefully. If we're not people who are warriors, we'll never inherit the promises that God has for us. It's going to require courage to enter the promises, to take hold of the promises.
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. Today, we bring you part three of a four-part message on the people God chooses as Pastor Wayne dives even deeper into the life of King David. The Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart. You can be called that as well, or a woman after God's heart. Let's get those pronouns right. Here is Pastor Wayne.
My best friends are in the Bible, and so are yours. Because every problem that we will face will have already been faced by someone in the Bible, and they've left us clues behind. They're really good friends. There's a funny story I'd like to tell you about friends that aren't as good. There are these story of these three friends going out fishing, and they went out as far as they've ever gone out, maybe 10, 15, 20 miles into the ocean, and they hit this rogue storm, and they capsize. Three of them are in this teeny life raft, these three best friends. And one day goes by, 2 days goes by, 3 days go by, and still no rescue. They're about ready to expire when one of them, whose hand was in the water, grabs a bottle floating by, and there's a cork in it. He pulls the cork out, and a genie appears. It's a Christian genie, and because this is church. And the Christian genie says, "I'm going to grant each of you one wish." That's three wishes, you mathematicians, one for each of you. And so the first guy goes, "Oh, man, I'm about to expire. I tell you, I wish I were back with my wife." And poof, he's gone. Two left. The second says, "Oh, I miss my kids. I wish I were back with my kids." Poof, he's gone. Last one there. The genie says, "There's one more wish, and then that's it." He says, "Oh, man, I miss my friends so much. I wish they were right here with me again." Poof. You don't want friends like that. But our best friends are in the Bible, and they want God's best. And they leave clues behind as to how to navigate problems that we run into, because many of us will hit walls that are thicker than 10 feet of concrete, tougher than steel or metal. We're going to have to be able to work through them. And they have. And so they've left clues for you and me. Why? Why did they dedicate their life and then God collected these lives and recorded them so that we can see what they went through? Why did God do that for us? I'll tell you why. Because we don't have what it takes when we started. You say, "Well, we don't have what?" Oh, you might have the energy, you might have the thrill, the desire, the yearning, you might have even the talent, but you don't have the wisdom necessary when you begin. You didn't have the wisdom necessary to be the dad that you wanted to be when you said, "I do," or the mother or the mom that you wanted to be when you said, "I do." And when the kids began to appear, you didn't have the wisdom. Wisdom is something you got to garner along the way. You didn't have the wisdom to finish strong when you started a business, when you started a relationship. Wisdom has to be garnered along the way. You say, "Well, where do you get wisdom?" Well, you get it from two teachers in life. One is wisdom. The other is consequences, personal consequences. Both are great teachers, the teacher of wisdom and the teacher of consequences. Both exact a tuition. For one, it might be self-discipline. It might be deferred gratification. It might be patience and endurance and perseverance. But consequences exacts a price as well. Now, both of them are fabulous teachers. You'll learn from them both. But here's the difference. Consequences tuition is very high. Oh, you'll learn the lesson from personal consequences and suffering. But by the time you learn that lesson, it may have cost you your finances, may have cost you your family, may have cost you your marriage, your faith, may even cost you your life. But the teacher of wisdom is far better, even though there's a price to pay. I'll tell you the difference between the two. The teacher of consequences demands that you make the mistake first, and then she'll teach you the lesson. The teacher of wisdom will teach you the lesson first and then let you decide if you want to make the mistake. But you'll have to have a heart that's willing, because you see, wisdom's going to tell you the consequences, and then you decide whether or not you want to make that mistake or not. And yet many of us still do. Let me ask you this question. How many of you have learned some wisdom from a personal consequence in your life? Raise your hand. Yeah, see, we've all been there. But wisdom says that I am going to teach you the lesson and give you the wisdom prior to the experience, but you have to decide whether or not you want to make that mistake or not. That's why the Bible puts all of these divine mentors here and lists their lives, raw, unedited accounts of men and women who've gone through tough stuff. And God loved their lives so much and felt that it was so important for you and me to read it and learn wisdom prior to consequences that he collected them all and put them in not one book, but 66 books. And there it is for us to read. These divine mentors that I call them beckon us to be with them, to give audience to them so that they can teach us wisdom along the way, because you've got to garner it along the way. So he records them. You're going to hit some walls. You're going to hit some consequences or some problems in your life. And that's exactly where David was when we kind of drop into the story of David. He's about to be held as a fugitive, chased, hunted down. And Saul, the king, would try to kill him time and time again. David would be tired of running. But yet, even in his anger, he would write things down. And God must have loved them so much, he collected them and put them in a book called the Book of Psalms. David learned much wisdom through consequences, wrote them down so that we don't have to face the same thing. That's why he writes in Psalm 119, verses 97 to 100, he says, "Oh, how I love your commandments, for they make me wiser than mine enemies." He continues and he says this, "I have more understanding than the aged because I followed your precepts." See, God writes the lessons that Abraham learned and Jacob and Isaac, Joshua, Moses, records them all so that we can have the wisdom of the ages. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. If your answer is yes, keep your hand up for a few seconds, all right? Now, how many of you have learned some wisdom from personal consequences? Raise your hand. Now, watch this. Keep your hands raised. What if I could go and harvest and garner the lesson that you learned from that experience or that consequence, so I wouldn't have to go through the same thing? You can put your hands down now. If I went through this room, do you know how rich of a person I would be in wisdom beyond my years? I'd have wisdom beyond my lifetime. I'd have wisdom, the wisdom of the ages. You see, that's what God did. He collected all of these, put them in a book called the Bible, so that we would have the wisdom of the ages. And that's what the psalmist says. I understand more than the aged because I have followed thy precepts. The scripture says it this way, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the foolish. The testimony of the Lord is the word of the Lord. So when we read God's word, we get the wisdom of the ages. And God knew that if he were going to create us to live in these last days, we're going to need more wisdom than personal experience could afford us. We need the wisdom of the ages. Because take a look at where our nation is going, where our children are going. We think we better have wisdom, because the Holy Spirit wants to work through us. But if we don't have the wisdom necessary, we will fail miserably at every turn. So God says, I want you to know what my word says, for the testimony or the word of the Lord is sure. He makes wise the foolish. And so David leaves us a pattern of his life, and we find him here in the book of 1 Samuel. Think, can we have the wisdom of Solomon? Absolutely. Can we have the wisdom of David? Absolutely. How? Well, the Bible says that God is no respecter of persons, and he gave Solomon wisdom. And he says in the book of Timothy, he says, for all scripture is inspired by God. It means God breathed. Inspired by God. It's living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, able to discern between the soul and the spirit, the thoughts and intentions of man, he says in the book of Hebrews. And so Peter says it this way. Peter says every word of God here in the Bible is God-breathed. What does that mean? Watch this. It's amazing. Because God promises to inspire no other book in the universe except this one. Only one. Must be really important to God. I'll tell you why. God says the word of God is living, and I'm no respecter of persons. And I gave Solomon wisdom to pen Ecclesiastes in the book of Proverbs, and it's going to be God-breathed. Watch this. If you will give audience to Solomon and read Ecclesiastes or Proverbs or Song of Songs with an open heart, as you read it, the wisdom that God gave to Solomon, he says, I will breathe that into you. The leadership of David, I didn't just give it to David. If you will read that with an open heart, the leadership I gave to him, I will give to you. What I taught Moses through his consequences and the grumblings in the desert and how to persevere and the mistakes that he made, and you saw the consequences, I will breathe that wisdom and that foresight into you through the word of God. How many of you are grateful for the living word of God that he has given to us? Can you say amen to that? Amen. And so David's life was penned and then put here so that you and I can learn. And then we understand, these are the qualities that need to be in us, because those are the kinds of people, like David, that God chooses. And that's what we want to talk about today. So if you take out your notes, we're going to take a look at David. Now remember, I started a to-do list years and years ago. And I think people know me for my to-do list. Every time my wife washes my pants, she has to pull out all my to-do lists because I always make them. But some years ago, I decided to not only make a to-do list, but a to-be list. Those are some qualities that I would see in people that I'd want to emulate. That person is wise, or that person genuinely loves, or that person takes time with every person he or she meets. And I would write that down. I would make up little laws like the 30-second law. 30 seconds more, just 30 seconds. Give that person 30 seconds more. I learned that one day when a lady came up after church, and she said, there's some people waiting, and she finally made her way up, and she says, can you pray for my cat? And I thought, oh, God, I don't want to pray for people's cats. And I'm looking, and there's several people behind her, and I'm thinking, yes, sure, okay. So I gave her this real perfunctory prayer, you know, God bless you, our Father, art in heaven, goodbye. And she went by, and the Lord just convicted me, and he said, Wayne, if you would have given her 30 seconds of undivided love and compassion, because it really wasn't about her cat. I mean, this has God ever downloaded something to you in like nanoseconds? Just poof. Just in a nanosecond, I got this realization like, oh, crumb. And the Lord just said, here's what it is. And what I'm unpacking for you in the next 15 seconds, it took God a nanosecond. And he said, it wasn't really about her cat. When she came, she wanted prayer for a cat, but it was really, she needed an embrace of love that would come from you, that would represent my heart for her. That's all she needed. And she would have been fine all week long. She needed 30 seconds more for a miracle to happen in her life, and you brushed her by. I tell you, I went straight to my to-be list, and I said, I will be someone who understands 30 seconds more for a miracle to happen. So those are the things that I write down, and I watch the life of David, because David is such a hero of mine, and they listed 6 things about David. And when I saw that, I thought, I'm gonna incorporate all of those into my life. And so at the top of your notes, you'll have the scripture here in 1 Samuel 16 that lists these 6 qualities. And I'll read them. In fact, let's read them together as if they come up here on the screen. And if not, write on your notes. Let's read them together nice and loudly. Would you read it? Go. Behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, who is a skillful musician, a mighty man of valor, a warrior, one prudent in speech, a handsome man, and the Lord is with him. And I thought, Lord, help me to understand every single one. Last week we talked about the first, and it's very interesting that the very first quality that they would list and define David by was the fact that not that he was an elite guerrilla warfare expert, which he was, they define him as a skillful musician. I thought, he wasn't known as a musician necessarily, he was a warrior. But they listed that first, and I thought, Lord, why? If you recall, you don't have to be necessary. The Bible didn't want David to be a piano player. God doesn't expect us to be a guitar player per se. But what it was defining of David was this, that David was able to express his deepest hurts, even his sorrows, and maybe even his discouragements in acceptable ways. And he wrote poems about it rather than strangling people, rather than flying into fits of rage, rather than being a one-dimensional person, a warrior, battle-scarred, tattoos, muscles, I hate. Instead, he took all of those things that he struggled with and expressed them in acceptable ways. I thought, Lord, I need to do that. Because every single one of us have an inner battle that we're fighting. And we can either be upset at people or we can cry out to God. David cried out to God, and God said, there's a man after my own heart. And the second was that he was brave, or he was a person of valor. All that means is when it came to David, it was like, David was someone who understood the battles in his life and would not retreat from them. He was able to face his own weaknesses and his own fears. He was brave. He was a man of valor. If you recall, when Goliath came out to taunt the armies of the living God, David didn't look for a side door. He grabbed 5 rocks and ran to the front line. Whizzed that thing, nailed him in the forehead, and kaboom, down went that tree. And David knew that the only way to conquer the enemy was to conquer his fear. And each of us need to be men and women of bravery if we're going to conquer the stuff that lurks within us. And then it says, number 3, it says that David was a warrior. What does that mean? Here's what it means. Real simple. It means that David didn't get to where he was out of a quirk of luck. It wasn't just handed to him. He earned everything he received. Every stripe he had to work for, he had to discipline himself, train himself. It wasn't like getting a trophy from AYSO. He had to work for it, he had to earn it. He was a warrior, he fought the battles that he faced. I thought, that's it, isn't it? Yeah, and he started with himself. He started with himself because I know that there must have been huge fears in David when he faced the giant. When he faced all of the things that was harder than he could have an ability to conquer, but yet he knew that he could start to depend on God's power when his ran out. Boy, I tell you, it takes courage. And he was a warrior. You know, all of us have unfinished battles. Here in this room, there's attitude problems. It's an unfinished battle. Maybe a tendency to give up. Maybe a tendency to say, I blame it on somebody else. Maybe it's a tendency to get mad at God. But in order to be a warrior, God is saying you got to start with yourself. Because every single one of us has unfinished business. And we have to be willing, and here it is, to pay the price. There's a price for everything that we go through. People stop growing because we're not willing to pay the price anymore. In fact, in Acts 15, I found the key to the book of Acts. You know what it says in Acts 15, 26? It says, these were men, here it is, who risked their lives for the sake of Jesus. I thought, they were willing to pay a price, to do whatever it took to become the people that God wanted them to be. I remember when I was in high school, I was going to a high school down south called Eagle Point. And I wanted to be a runner, a cross-country runner. And so I thought, I'll just try it out. We'll see how it is. And so we were in a contest against Marshfield High School down there. And it was a 3.5-mile run. And so I lined up with everyone else. And this is one of my first runs. And I thought, yeah, it must not be that hard. I always run from my mother when she yells at me, so I can run this thing. And bang, the gun goes off, and there's this one kid who's a year older than me from Marshfield that takes off and sprints like he's running a 100-yard dash. I think, what a stupid kid. He's gonna die right around the corner. Well, this kid kept running that fast the whole way. I didn't realize that was Steve Prefontaine. When I came across the finish line, I was depleted and fatigued and dog tired. He already had his sweats on, drinking iced tea, sitting on a beach chair. I have disliked him ever since. But then I thought, you know, he didn't get to where he was because someone just handed it to him. He trained more than everyone else. I would always see him running, even when he went to the U of O. And I went to this college here. I would watch him run. They would just run every day, be running. And I thought, you know, he earned every stripe he got. Someone said it this way: it takes 15 years to be an overnight success. A warrior is willing to pay the price. You see, a lot of people don't want to work on their marriage. They just want the benefits of someone who did. A lot of people don't want to pray, dig their knees into the carpet. They just want the benefits of someone who did. It's not available. And God is saying, watch David. He's a warrior. It's going to take courage to become the people that I want you to be. He said to Joshua in the book of Joshua, he said, Joshua, be strong and courageous. Why? Because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. In other words, he's saying, you better be strong and courageous because you're going to go and lead the people into the promised land. Listen carefully. If we're not people who are warriors, we'll never inherit the promises that God has for us. It's going to require courage to enter the promises, to take hold of the promises. I remember one man once said to me, he said, Wayne, if you don't fight for your family, nobody else will. You fight for them. I thought, it's going to take courage, huh? Fight for my marriage, to fight for my family. Yeah, it is. He says here in the next verse, have I not commanded you? Again, he repeats, be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. God didn't say, I want you to feel courageous. He said, I command you. If you were privates, just new recruits in the army, and a general came into the room, and the first sergeant said, you know, attend hut, stand up. If he commands you to stand up, what are you going to do? If a general enters the room, what are you going to do? Stand up. Stand up. What if your ankle was a little sore? Stand up. Yeah. Well, what if you didn't have enough sleep last night? Stand up. What if you don't want to stand up? You stand up. What if I don't feel like standing up? It doesn't matter because you were commanded. Now listen carefully. God says, in inheriting the promises that I have for you, I command you to be courageous because you will never enter the promise I have for your marriage, for your life, for your future, unless you're someone that's going to take a hold of it. You see, courage isn't the absence of fear. It's moving forward in spite of it. And God has so many promises for you, for your life, for your future, for this church. And we must be a people of courage if we're going to apprehend that. Can you say amen to that? Can you say amen to that? Amen.
You've been listening to part 3 of a 4-part message on the people God chooses by Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. Thank you for listening. Tomorrow, we'll bring you the conclusion of this series on the wife of David. By then, you'll learn that many of his character qualities reside in you, just waiting to be developed. Until then, remember what Pastor Wayne said.
God didn't say, I want you to feel courageous. He said, I command you. It's going to take courage to become the people that I want you to be. Listen carefully. If we're not people who are warriors, we'll never inherit the promises that God has for us. It's going to require courage to enter the promises, to take hold of the promise.
Now, for Pastor Wayne and all the family at New Hope, God bless you and have a great day in the Lord.